drums echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say, "Hurry boy, it's waiting there for you.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are so excited because we are going to get to know Rainier Steenkamp in a different way. He, of course, is a firefighter with the Hastings Fire Department, and we are going to get to know his history and his background because it's very fascinating. First of all, great to see you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming in. I love the fact that we are neighbors and we see each other and we wave to each other, but you know what? We really don't know each other like true neighbors should.
No,
so let's pretend we're having a cul-de-sac party or something. Not, we won't block the alley because I know you don't like that.
No.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been at the Hastings Fire Department?
Well, just at the fire department will be 5 years.
Oh my gosh.
Coming January.
Wow.
Been in the country for 10 years now.
Okay.
Yep.
So your accent obviously gives you away a little bit.
It's all the time.
Yeah, I bet it does. You can't hide that, can you?
No.
Steenkamp, is that a Dutch name?
Well, South Africa is.
So you're
like
from South Africa.
Yep. Just like a melting pot like the U.S., you know.
Yes.
A lot of Dutch, French, German that settled in South Africa. So my background and my last name is a lot French. But there is definitely German and the Dutch. That's all, you know, intertwined.
Intertwined. Yep. So you grew up in South Africa. And, you know, as Americans, I do believe that we are so ignorant about the fact that Africa is a continent. Just
That's
like
correct.
North America is a continent.
That's correct.
And so when you say South Africa, you're actually talking about, is it a country?
Yep.
Okay.
It's a country in Africa.
South Africa is a country in, and I bet it's south.
Yeah, it's on the very southern point of Africa. You know, just like the United States is a country in America.
Yes.
You know, and gets confusing all over the world. You know, people think the United States is a continent.
Oh, so they do? Oh, yeah. That's good to know that other people aren't following.
Yeah. So I get a lot, you know, South Africa, you know, what part of South Africa, you know, they think it's the southern part of the continent.
Okay.
Yep. But it's actually the most southern country in the whole of the continent.
So what does it border? What other African countries does it border?
So it's got the ocean on all the southern side.
Yes.
From the east, south, to the west.
And what ocean? Is that the Indian Ocean?
Indian and okay. Atlantic.
Yes.
And then to the northwest, it will be Namibia. Right next to it will be Botswana. Next to that is Zimbabwe. And right next to that is Mozambique on the eastern side.
So it borders all of them.
Yep.
Wow. So you grew up there, and I bet it was just beautiful, pretty area.
It's a beautiful place.
Yes.
Just like you see on TV.
What city
Not
did you...
Not the huts and the lions walking around, but it's beautiful.
Right, I'm sure. So you grew up in what city?
It's a place called Louis Trichardt.
Okay.
There were some name changes in some towns. The new one is Makado. But on the maps, if you go on Google Maps, it still shows at Louis Trichardt. So it's...
And that sounds French. Is that French?
I can't tell you 100%.
Okay.
If you want to search for it, that's the very most northeastern corner of the country, you will find it, about 60 miles from the border of Zimbabwe.
Okay. And you were born and raised there. Did your family live there for generations?
Yep.
So what was it really like to grow up in South Africa? Because we hear so much. Obviously, we don't want to get super duper political, but before we went on the air, you were saying that just like here, reality sometimes isn't portrayed correctly in the news always about the way things really are. What was it like to grow up in South Africa?
I was born in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up, and what you've seen is what you've known.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you were exposed to it. You know, everybody knows about the apartheid area, and it was, people see it as slavery. It was never slavery. It was just a segregation between colors. Everybody used the same shops, and, you know, it was just a separation at a certain time of day. You know, and I get a lot of questions, you know, about the slavery. There wasn't any slavery in South Africa. It is still, you know, other cultures and colors live just like the whites would do in South Africa. And there is some black people that employ white people and vice versa. You know, so what the media shows, don't always believe it, you know.
So when you were growing up, who was the head of South Africa?
Well, back, you know, that's many years ago. But Evie de Klerk, it's a name well known in South African politics, that at that time, Nelson Mandela was in prison.
Okay. And another well-known name.
Exactly. And what's significant about Evie de Klerk was that back then, with the U.S. history, Bill Clinton, you know, had to sit down then with Evie de Klerk and said, you know, we don't believe in what you guys do and stuff, and think you should open voting up for everybody, and, you know, if not, the U.S. is going to put some sanctions on South Africa. While Evie de Klerk then, you know, opened everything up, and everything from there on, you know, is history. Everybody can Google it. It's well known what happened, you know.
So you think Clinton, President Clinton, was instrumental in changing South Africa?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
It's history.
So tell us a little bit more about how you then ended up leaving South Africa. Did you go with your family? Did you come to the United States right away? Did you go someplace else? And why did you leave?
So 1994, it was the big election. And then after that, things changed. The ANC party, you know, they took over, and, you know, things then changed like I knew it. It started, you know, reverse racism than it was just the other way around, you know. So then things changed a lot in the country. My race and age and sex, it became way more difficult to get into positions. I then worked for a big transport company, and my dad helped me back then to get away from it and start my own. With then Zimbabwe's politics, that the economy crashed and there was no food available, I started running food products with my semis up to Zimbabwe. That was my income and my livelihood. Things changed politically wise with Robert Mugabe, and he withholded a lot of import permits from big importers of food products in Zimbabwe in return for votes to make sure that he meets his numbers and that he's going to get reelected.
So food was given, you had it to transport,
yep,
and you couldn't because of this
politically issues.
It's terrible.
Yep.
It's terrible.
So all the semis back then that ran up to Zimbabwe, withdraw from Zimbabwe, I only had four semis myself, and to compete with somebody with 1,000 semis in South Africa, they can cut prices, everything, it went under. And that's where everything started, with a whole coming to the United States. And
what did you know about the United States before you came here?
It's big.
You knew it was big. And what was your perception? What was your, you know, the stereotype?
Just everything is bigger and better in the United States.
Okay.
That's what everybody sees the United States as in South Africa. You know, the vehicles, the ranches, you know, everything is big. The continent is big. You know, the country is big. My dad back then did travel here twice for work.
What did your dad do for a living?
He was in the fertilizer business.
Mm-hmm.
He was also a land surveyor, and then also concessions for hunting purposes that we brought United States people in to come and hunt on our farms and stuff, and Germans. So through meeting those people, you know, you
make connections.
Yeah, and then, you know, the accent was always unbearable to understand, the American accent. Especially people from Texas, you know, they show up and it takes you like 2 days to understand what they say. And I think everybody says the same about us, you know, when we come here. But, and then I made a decision, you know, the United States, the economy is good. Your money has value and you are safe in this country, because safety became a big issue in South Africa.
Is it still?
Oh, yeah. It's even worse now. And I remember I got up one morning. I went to my mom's office.
What did your mom do?
My mom draws plans. So she's like an architect.
Okay.
So I sat down and I said to my mom, I'm going to the U.S. And she looked at me and she says, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to the U.S. And she says, we'll talk later. And I went back home. I started looking online ways to get to the United States and jobs and stuff, which I found a agency in South Africa that works with employment agencies in the U.S. in the agricultural business. And it was, I almost think it was in January somewhere that I contacted them. And the lady said to me, I really want to help you, but the farmers do their visas, you know, early January. There's people that leave, you know, end of the year, and those people tend to come back to the farmers that they come and work. And she says, but I'll see what I can do. And a week later, she had three farmers that had positions available.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was out of the country the 28th of March.
So where were these three farms?
So one of them was in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't remember the little town. The other one was in just northeast of Fargo, in Oaks, North Dakota. And the other one was in Wisconsin, Wausau, Wisconsin. A very well-known dairy farm. And, you know, I looked at different options where who can offer what, and I ended up deciding to take the position in Wisconsin.
So you come over on a visa, and was it for a certain amount of time?
Yep, that was a long process. So I had to make an interview appointment with the United States consulate in Johannesburg in South Africa. So I had my appointments. I went to see them. They have actual interviews with you. They want to make sure we'll give you the visa, but we want to make sure that you leave the United States again after the visa expires. It's a work program visa, the H-2A visa. I went through all of that. That went good. I got my visas approved. And, yeah, I flew over to United States with a friend of mine. And we actually flew into Chicago. And he was a adventurous guy just like me. We had to get from Chicago to Wausau, Wisconsin. We got to Chicago and we needed a way to still get to Wausau. And we thought, okay, it's going to be an adventure. We'll figure it out when we get there. yeah, landed in Chicago, and it's more than what you can imagine. And we figured out how to get a cell phone. It was a little prepaid flip-up phone. We bought that, and we started asking questions, and we walked out the main doors by the front pickup. And we stood and looked at each other, and we're like, we are screwed. We need to figure it out, but we don't know how yet.
Right.
And interesting, a bus pulled up to pick people up, and the driver jumped out. And he walked right towards us, and he said, you guys look lost. And we said, we are lost. We need help to get to Wausau, Wisconsin. So he took us in the bus. He asked the people in the bus. He's just going to make a loop back around the airport to get to the terminals. He took us back, jumped out with us, went into the terminals to underground subway train people. He took us to a guy, helped us to get tickets for a train to get into Chicago, to get to a hotel that's close to the Greyhound bus station. And we need to speak to a certain lady at the Holiday Inn, and she will help us. We just need to tell her who sent us. So he just told us, if you get on this train, get off at this station and don't get off anywhere else. It's unsafe. And me and my friend were on the train, and we looked out the windows, and I said to him, what do you see? And he said, there's no boundary walls around the houses, nobody's security gates, and there's no burglar bars on the windows. And I looked at him, I'm like, I guess we can get off here, you know? It looks safe to me. But we stayed on. We got off at the train station that we had to. We went to the Holiday Inn. We spoke to the lady he told us to speak to. She helped us to get a room there the night. And she walked us down to the bus station, which was too late, and help us get our tickets on the Greyhound bus to Wausau, Wisconsin. And we went back to the hotel, we had a pizza, and that's where the adventure started.
Oh my gosh. And we are going to take a break right there, and we will be back with part two of this very interesting adventure with Rainier Steenkamp. Great to see you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Hear the drums echoing tonight, and she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you.